In the book of John, the 4th chapter, in the 35th verse, I'd like to read. And I desire your prayers today that God would open our understanding and He would help us today. The 4th chapter of John, the Lord was interested in every creature. He was interested. It says here, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, 4:1 of John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, and near the parcel of ground that Joseph gave to his son Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There's no question in my mind that Jesus was capable of drawing water from this well, even though he was tired. No question that he could have done that effort and quenched his thirst, but there was something bigger. There was a bigger picture, and he was interested in bringing truth to a woman that needed help so much. We need help so much today. We need him to quicken us. We need him to help us in our life, that we don't just stay in a rut and we get up and we endeavor to ask God to help us in our day-to-day life. So here's the story, and we've read this many times, I'm sure. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. That kind of sounds a little bit demanding. And it says, for his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You've already crossed lines, sir. You have already stepped over your boundaries. All you did was ask me for a drink, but I'm a Samaritan, and you Jews don't have anything to do with us. Why would you do such a thing? And it said, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he, he would have given thee living water. I've noticed that sometimes blessings lie around and close to problems. Have you all noticed that? By the way, I'm thinking about I'm going to read this here in the 35th verse, but I'm getting around to the part where Jesus says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. That's my thought this morning. Say not, there's 4 months, yet 4 months, yet 4 months. Get that out of your mind. You know, Jesus could have said, there'll be somebody that comes by here probably, and I pretty much know what this woman's like. She's had 5 husbands, and she's not satisfied, and she's coming out here, and she's not a stranger to men, and she's not afraid of me. And he knew a little bit about what he was going up against. He knew there was a deep need in this woman's life that hadn't been met by all the things of the world. He could have had different things, but it said here, he must needs go through Samaria. There's something about this urgency that he felt, and this rendezvous here is going to be a woman that is going to be at the same location, and I think God's timing is wonderful. I think about the service call that I went on one time, and as I started that day, I had no idea that I would meet the Kurnuts. I had no idea that I'd be working for this man that didn't have a good reputation in the city of Springfield. I didn't know about it when I applied for the job, but it was a $6 an hour job, and it looked good. And so I started driving an old yellow service truck. It was an old Chevrolet truck, and it had on the door a moon, half of a moon, painted on the driver's and passenger door. Day and Night Plumbing. Bob Adams Plumbing. That's who I went to work for. Had no idea that the Lord had a hand in Bob Adams Plumbing. The man had a dream that he wanted to be a millionaire. And he ended up having 95 people working for him, and his dreams came true. And by the time I went to work for him, it was just a remnants of a company that you would look at and say, I doubt that there's very much at all good into this company. It didn't look very good. Some of his old trucks, I remember so many stories I could tell you. I'd drive down the neighborhood, and this old truck made so much noise with all the loose boxes and fittings and stuff all in this. I would wake the dogs up in the neighborhood. There would be dogs barking and chasing me down. I was used to it. I've been a paper boy, so that didn't really bother me. But this company was really something. But one day, I was sent to the elderly couple's home to work on a furnace. And immediately, there they were, Brother and Sister Kurnut. He was an old Methodist school teacher, and he preached part-time. He was up in years when I met him, and I saw him, and I said, you all must be Christian people. And he said, we are. And that started a relationship, and he started coming to church with us. He said, my church is about to crucify me. Now, I'm not giving up on my principles and things that I believe that God wants me to do. And so I was so glad to get to meet them. God's timing in our life. It's important to us today that we don't get to a place we have it all figured out and we got our days planned out and we know everything. God has a few Kurnuts, and he has a few people like this woman in life that he wants you to meet. He wants you to rendezvous with. He wants you to be there and be there prepared. Don't say there's 4 months. Don't get that idea in your mind that it's just got to work out in a certain way. I'm going to read to you in a little bit about the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and 5 foolish. And I'm convinced this morning the 5 foolish had in their minds, Yet 4 months. I know the cycle of time, and I can play it out, and I can be real proficient, and I'm pretty good at calculating things, and I know what it takes between seed time and harvest. Yet 4 months. There'll be times it's going to surprise us in life that there's people that pop up, and we have to do something about it then. Had the 5 foolish known, had they been able to discern what they were playing with and what they were up against, the whole outcome might have been different. But the yet 4 months sticks in my mind this morning. The Lord's been talking to me, the yet 4 months, the waiting for, and our time and our planning. It's not in man to direct his steps. When will we learn that? When will we understand the yet 4 months and the planning and the cycle of life and a lot of those things we think we know and yet we're so ignorant about. We're really ignorant about it. We see the dealings of God and his workings with people. We see how he built a tabernacle and the glory of God was underneath that tabernacle that was covered with badger skins and goat's hair. And we think, how could it be? How could the Shekinah, how could the glory of God be under such an ugly looking thing or something that's just so undesirable? That badger skins and goat's hair and different skins spread over the temple. How could God be in such a thing as that? And I look and see some of the blessings that God has laid out in our life. We don't see them. They're hid from our eyes. We can't see why these difficulties and trials and troubles and tests and afflictions and temptations, they're all there. We don't understand it. We see through a glass darkly. But the Lord knows everything about us. He knows why He made you like you are. He knows why He put things in your life that are obstacles. He knows why. He does. And He wants us to recognize, say, behind some of those places that look like undesirable, the glory of God is there. The glory of God. What was waiting for this woman after she questioned Him? She said, "I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship?" Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." People are so hung up today because they got in their mind that God only dwells in one place, that He is only in one thing, that He only works in one way. Rahab the harlot wouldn't be in a lot of people's most wanted or most admired or historical women. We wouldn't have put her in there. Most people, most of us wouldn't put her in that category. She was not a desirable woman, but yet the Lord looked totally different. He saw in her, He saw something that we didn't see. And she's in history. There's also a lot of others that are in history that we don't know much about. But God does. He knows all about it. And He looked down. He saw this woman come at the well and He said, "This is historical. What's going to happen here is something going down in history. And I don't want you to forget it. It's going to be contained in the sacred scriptures, what happened here." And sure enough, this story has never gone away. The glory of God, the workings of God, and here is a Samaritan woman. Here is all of her doubts, and here's everything about her. Her unfulfilled life. The Lord dug right in. Here's what you really need. If you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would have asked of Him, and He would have given to you a water that would well up in you and just keep going and going. It would be something that really satisfied the needs of your soul. He said, the true worshipers are not going to worship in this mountain. They're not going to worship in Jerusalem. But God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's where the worship is. Somehow, some way, when you look at the human standpoint, the human ways are so much different than God's ways. There's going to be a time you're going to worship Him all over the world. There's going to be a time people worship Him in their homes. They worship Him in the woods. They worship Him here and there. And yet we've got it down so much, it's got to be here, it's got to be there. No, they're going to worship Him in spirit. And I'm thinking this morning, that's what we need, a touch of God. We need for Him to help and get out of our minds yet 4 months. There's something about that sticks to me, and I think, oh Lord, help us to see Your dealings with us. Help us to see that right before us, this new week, there may be someone come your way, and He's going to watch how we talk to them, how we deal with them, how we work with them. many, many times I've had that happen to me, and I had no clue who'd come by or where I would go, and there I would meet someone that I was supposed to talk to. There's some very undesirable people in this life, and somehow when you get connected with them, it's not my job. I've heard that song, and I believe it. You got to get your hands a little dirty if you ever want to plant a seed. Have you all ever heard that song? Do you believe it? There was a very violent man, and I've got to see him tomorrow. I've got to go talk to him. Done things. It's been all over the news. And tomorrow's the day. I've got to visit with him. You know, it could be the Lord has pulled this all together. Do you believe that? It could be this man's salvation. It's not me, but it's the Lord working together. He's working with us, folks. He's trying his best.
Yes, he is.
Don't get in your mind yet 4 months. Don't think that everything has got to have this planned cycle and then it all. No, there's things that Jesus knew that timing was to be the. At noon, he was going to meet this woman, was going to come out and be drawing water. And he met her, and he gave her something more than just the water that was in the jug. He gave her living water. The woman saith him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. This was one of the most blunt statements that Jesus ever made about himself. I that speak unto thee am he. I'm the one. You don't find this very often, but he made it known to that woman, didn't he? That's what we just read. He made it known to her, the one you've been hearing about, well, I'm the one. And that was all. He didn't make no big, nothing elaborate. He just told her. And upon this came his disciple. He said, I wonder why the Lord's talking to that woman. But no man said, what seekest thou? Why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh, the 34th verse, Jesus saying to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That'd be good for us today to not lose the vision, not lose the meaning of being led by the Spirit of God. I want to encourage us this new week to watch for the opportunities of everyday life. Everyday life, the disciples were going to get food. They come back. They see him talk to the woman. None of them even ask him, hey, did you find any prospects here, Lord? Did you find anything? Was this woman interested in following you? They didn't even think about it. It didn't even cross their mind. It didn't cross the minds of the five foolish either how important it was for them to be looking for opportunities and to act on it. Didn't even come to their mind, evidently. Sometimes opportunities can be lost. We find in 2 Kings 13 and 19, the king asked the man, he said, I want you to, let me read this to make sure I don't lose anything. 2 Kings 13 and 19. You know, half-heartedness will not get us anywhere. In Russia, they said, you pretend to pay us and we'll pretend to work. We surely can't bring that attitude into the kingdom of God. And the man of God, it said here, he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite on the ground, and he smote thrice and stayed. The man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times, then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. half-heartedness. You know, I've been thinking lately of some of the extra pressures that's put on us as people fail the Lord, and people fail to take the torch of God. Maybe it's because I have in my mind yet 4 months. Maybe I'm thinking, you know, when I get a little older, I'll pick up the torch and I'll go and I'll do things for God later. It's always later. I know that, but you know, I'm going to say this. In the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, we haven't seen a whole lot of new ministers really that has come around and picked up the torch. Those that have been wonderful. But I'm telling you, there is a lot of lacks in the kingdom because people have failed to take up the torch and go on. And what it's done, I've seen the gaps, the big gaps between the ministry, large gaps. And there's lots of things, folks. I think a lot of it has come down to somehow we've failed to see even the white fields, the things that are out there to do, and put it off. Been half-hearted like this king. Did he do what he was told? Yes, he did. Did he do more? Did he have enthusiasm? What? No, he didn't. He did 3 times and it's over, and the prophet was wroth. If you would have been anyway near of having your heart in what you was doing, you would have done it 6. You would have just kept on and kept on, but there wasn't much passion there. Without passion, folks, we don't get very far. Without passion, without having some desire in our hearts, things don't work very well. I've saw people that have worked on old cars and they've put parts and things on it. I looked at this old car a while ago and I just began to notice the little things it's left off. He had a bolt stuck through the hood to keep it down, and he put this nut on it instead of fixing the hinges and making this thing close and having springs and having things that work. I'm going to drill a hole in it and put a nut on it, and that'll keep the hood down. That doesn't really impress me at all. I'm not looking for something like that. God is not impressed with us doing half-hearted jobs either. And when he sends us out to work and we're going for oil. We're going for the oil of the Spirit of God. We're going for things now that make a difference. Oil saved the 5 wise. Oil saved them. I'm going for oil. I don't know about you, but we need to go for the oil. If we don't have the oil of the Holy Spirit, if we don't have him working with us, we just don't go very far. We do things half-heartedly. Half-hearted work doesn't work, folks. And you know what? God help us to get our minds renewed. The Shekinah, the glory of God, if I'm pronouncing that right, was under places we just didn't desire very much. Badger skins, goat's hair, but the glory of God was there. David's bear and David's lion, the glory of God. He would not have become, I don't believe he would have, he wouldn't have become the king had he ran from those two things. Had he ran from them, he wouldn't have become king. I even think about Samson and his journeys, and some of it is a little bit hard to understand how a man that would seem so sensual, but there were things that God was working with Samson in, and he slays a lion, and just a few days the honeybees swarmed inside that carcass of that lion, and then he went by and he dug out that sweet honey. And here was the beast he killed, and here was now the honey. Oh, the sweet things of life come with struggle. the sweet things of life come after we defeat them. He defeated that lion. David defeated the lion and the bear. And there was good things that came after that. And the Lord wants to help us to see His workings with us. There are Rahabs, and there's lots of things that are out there. And the Lord is just taking all those little things, and He presents little things to us. What do you think about that, Bella? What do you think about that? What do you think? How are you going to react to that one? What are you going to do with that one? Nobody wants to touch it. Nobody wants to get their hands dirty. What do you think about that? And he's asking us and coming by. And He's just not giving you impossible things and me impossible things. No, He wants to check and see, have you had your mind quickened, your heart made light? Are you aware of where My glory can be? And it's hidden. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. His revelation, His dealings with us is wonderful. He comes by to us. He said, I'm going to give 5 talents, and I'm going to give 3 talents, and I'm going to give 1 talent. You know what? He's not asking of you or me anything harder than what we're able to do. With 1 talent, surely, all He had to do, with the 1 talent, all He had to do, just take it to the exchangers. Let people that are wise about things, just let them do all the work. You just be a good servant, and you be thinking that when I come back, you're going to make me happy. And that's what He wants of us. He's not going to ask beyond your abilities. Oh, I can't preach. I can't do this. I'm not over here. I'm not over there. I'm just a little so-and-so. Just no, the Lord will use every single one of us. Every one of us. In Psalms 27 and 14, this is the first verse that I memorized after I got saved. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He wants us to do that. He told us in Isaiah 30 and 7, your strength is to sit still. So my, how do you couple that? How do you connect that with what we're talking about today? He's just wanting simply, you all know this. You have the heart, I'll do the work. You have the want to, and you're going to keep 5, 6 times, 7 times, you're going to keep knocking. He said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. That is where the oil is. That is what He wants us. We're going to have to go for the oil this morning. I say that again. There were people in Matthew 25 and 44. Matthew 25 and 44, that the day of reckoning was come down, and these folks, it said here, let me read a little bit. Twenty-five and thirty-one. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? The king shall answer and send to them, verily I send to you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. You see, I was thinking about the 4 months. I was thinking about the opportune time. I didn't see the glory of God under a badger skin. I just didn't see it. I don't know what you're talking about. We've got to understand that the Lord is interested in us having something fervent in our heart. We sing the song, is the Spirit glowing in thy heart? Oh, my brother, can you say that you feel the burning love in thy bosom day by day? Yes, tis love, tis burning love divine, filling all my soul's desire. When we have that, and there's going to be something that stirs us, something that changes, something that moves us. Ah, God help us today. And then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see thee? I missed it. I'm sorry, I missed it all. I just didn't see you. When you're not going to judge me because I didn't see it, are you? You're surely not going to say I'm guilty because I just didn't understand what was going on. Surely the Lord is not that. Surely, tell me, he's not going to judge me because, well, I just didn't understand. I just didn't know. And he said, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Evidently the righteous and those that were oilless were going along same pace, same, maybe the a lot of the same route. They were traveling along together. Some got it, some didn't. Some got it, some didn't. The Lord is interested this morning that we see further than the 4 months, that we see there's always something we can do. The oil is the getting up and asking him. Part of the oil is being inquiring, have an inquisitive. Lord, am I missing something here? I sure don't see it. I don't understand. I don't see it. Am I missing something? And you know, had we had that attitude, even he would have said, okay, remember last time? You missed an opportunity. You didn't say nothing. You were quiet. You wish you had. You didn't. He was going to pray, but you didn't. And I'm just wanting to teach you a few things. That's all. He's not hard. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. There was nothing that he asked of these people that was beyond their capability. They missed the opportunity. Three times, smote, and he was wroth with him. Well, why would you be mad at me? I done what you asked me to do. Yeah. I see that, but there's something deeper than that. It's the half-heartedness part. You're not seeing the urgency. You're not seeing what's going on. 40 and 29 of Isaiah, he said to them that have no might, he would increase strength. When the desire is there, there's going to be the help from God. Psalms 140 and 7, it speaks of strength of your salvation. I'll just read that. Someone get that for me and read that, please. Psalms 140.
140 and
7. Yes.
O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle.
Yes. The strength of our salvation. You might be saying, well, if I heard it from someone else, it would really move me. But from you, I'm not taking this. Maybe if I heard it from somebody else and I like to hear them preach, it would mean so much more. But no, I'm sorry, but you think that's what God wants? If he speaks in so many different ways to us, does it really matter who it is? A donkey? Lord, help us today. In 1 Samuel 17 and 34, I'm just going to speak to part of this verse that I want to talk about, and then I'll be through. Then there came a lion. There came a lion. And David took the opportunity to slay that lion. He didn't see it as something to scare him off. He just saw the opportunity that God was going to work through him and help him to get the job done. In Proverbs, it talks about the slothful man saith, there's a lion without, I'll be slain in the streets. And a slothful man turns on his hinges. He doesn't go anywhere, but he turns on the hinges. He goes back and forth, but the slothful man never really does anything. He talks, he moves a little bit, not very far. The slothful man saith, there's a lion without, I'll be slain in the streets. There's just no possibility, really, for me to do anything you're talking about, preacher, this morning. I can't do it. Well, won't you give it a try? Won't you ask God this morning to help you? Because I know what he's going to do. If I know God any bit at all, I know this week there will be opportunities. There will come that little quiet moment or that someone that you need to talk to, need to be with. It'll happen. There'll be somebody come to your mind and say, well, I need to call them. I need to visit with them. I remember the radio I was listening to talked about a man that was ready to take his life and had the gun real close to him, and somebody called and it stopped the whole process. You know, today our God knows more than we know. He knows what's going on in everyone's life. Lord, help us today to be a willing vessel. Help us, Lord, to see that through dangers and trials and temptations and misfortunes is where your glory many times resides. May the Lord bless you today. These difficult places that present us troubles and all kinds of challenges, not meant to scare us off. It's meant for us to dig deeper. I trust the Lord will bless us all today. Watch for those opportunities of everyday life. Look for the little things that come your way and have the right attitudes. There'll be some way the Lord will provide for us. Remember, the oil comes through the asking and seeking and knocking. That's where the oil comes from. And when we have that attitude, the Lord will help us to be able to find those little rare opportunities. And he'll bless us when we take him up on the challenges of life. Thank you all for your time this morning. May God bless us all.